Today is Monday, so we're going to be doing a couple of things differently. I would invite the Von Tedi family singers to come forward. Diette, Savannah, Kelly, Marla, and Pat. Come on up, stand by the piano. Dig out the entrance hymns. Two of the hymns we're going to sing in a camp style. This is a favorite hymn, Easter hymn. Yes, Pat, you didn't know what was going on. Come on up, stand by the piano. There's safety in numbers.
We weren't even in the back row. We had to be done.
You weren't in the back row. We're going to have them as a choir, and you can sing along with the women, okay? But I chose them because they have loud voices and it's good. Stand up front here, up front here, up over here. There you go. Be reprimanded. Who needs a wife and a mother? Pull this out. It's a favorite hymn of ours, okay? And He Arose. They're going to be singing the tenor and the bass part. But if you want to sing along with them, okay? So
you forgot Edith.
I did. I fear Edith like I fear God.
You can't get up here. Or we could just sit in the pew.
No, they're going to be there. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You're going to be all right. Well, have more people up here. This is good. You're all off the hook. Anyway, they're going to sing the He Arose as the tenor and the bass section. They are warming up. All you up here for the hymn of the day. Because that's what I really need you for. This is just a warm-up. And we're going to sing it in unison, okay? But they're going to do the He Arose on the tenor and the bass line. Okay, we won't practice it. We're going to practice the other one. So, we're going to light candles and march in that, but you're on your own. Follow the musician, and then He Arose. Sing it like you're at Bible camp. Loudly, and then He Arose, loudly. And you guys can sing even louder than them. He Arose, okay? We'll see how this goes. And Catholics have said, Catholics give me a train run. They can't shake cans of corn and sing at the same time. We're not shaking any cans of corn. Okay? Congregation, please rise and sing, Christ Arose. God, the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue our worship with the affirmation of baptism on the readings and prayers. Alleluia! Christ is arisen. Christ has risen indeed. Alleluia! Alleluia! The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the water of the flood you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel out and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved Son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and is open to the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that those who are here baptized may be given. Wash away the sins of all those who are cleansed by this water and bring them forth as inheritors to your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor, glory and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Page 2 of the readings and prayers, there are some bold printed words in the affirmation of baptism. I would invite you to speak those loudly in unison as a congregation when we get to them. The bold printed words in the affirmation. You say them and shout them out. Brothers and sisters in Christ, baptism our Lord Jesus the Christ received you and made you members of his church. In the community of God's people, you have learned from his word, God's loving purpose for you and all creation. You have been nourished at his holy table and called to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To
live
among God's faithful people. To
hear
God's word and
share
in Christ's supper. To
proclaim
the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. To
serve
all people following the example of our Lord Jesus. And to
strive for justice and peace
in all the earth. I ask God to help and guide me. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, through water and the Spirit, you have made these people your own. You forgive them all their sins and bring them to newness of life. Continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit, and daily increase in them your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Through Jesus the Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
We pray together in unison the prayer of the day, as is found on the bottom of that page. Let us pray. Almighty God of life, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Holy Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading today comes from Acts. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. You are Israelites. Listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that handed down to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and died by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God held to him that he would be put one of the descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and for that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody today is Psalm 16. I will read the bold print if you read the rest. Oh, I
read.
Okay.
You read the light.
Okay, do that.
For in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord,
you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble to whom in all my delight.
Those who chose another God multiplied in their hearts.
Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
I have a goodly heritage.
I bless the Lord who
in the night also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me.
Because the Lord is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices.
My body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol.
Or let your faithful ones see the pit.
You show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy.
In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is Peter. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ. By God's great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus the Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that through though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory when Jesus the Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel acclamation this whole 7 weeks of Easter is hymn number 385. I invite you to rise as we sing this hymn. Hymn 385, we sing verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Listen carefully to the words, they have to do with the lessons for today. Verses 1 and 3 only, hymn 385 is our gospel. Holy Gospel for today, the second Sunday of Easter, is from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once again, we stand in honor of Christ in our midst and the Gospel being read. I invite you, however, at this time to be seated and to follow along or simply listen. It's a long Gospel, or long enough, I don't want you to... John chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Easter Sunday evening, so think last Sunday, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. The Father sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas, although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe this is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Let us pray at this time in preparation for the sermon. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. The first words to the Marys in Matthew's Gospel from last Sunday, the first words to the Marys at the tomb last week, Easter morning, were, "Do not be afraid." And it was said twice to them, in case they didn't get it the first time. The first time it was said by the angel who sat on the stone after the great earthquake while the guys were playing dead. Trembling, right, or fear. Quaking, like Little Richard, we said, or Elvis. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." And then they meet Jesus on the road, and Jesus says what to them? The very first words of Easter, "Do not be afraid." That was the last Sunday sermon. Today, the second Sunday of Easter, we have the same thing kind of happening. The rest of the disciples are locked behind closed doors in the upper room where they had had the Passover Eucharistic meal. And why were they locked behind the closed doors? Because they were afraid. They were in fear that they were arrested and beaten as Jesus was. And the first words to the disciples from the resurrected Jesus, according to John's Gospel now we're in today, are, "Peace be with you." He says it twice that night, and then a week later he says it again to the 10 disciples and Thomas. Peace be with you. I think those two things are the Easter gift, folks. Those two simple sentences are Easter gift to you and me. Do not be afraid of what happens in your life. And peace be with you. Because there's a lot of fear in our world right now, personally, politically, nationally, worldwide, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of peace. But we hear those words as the Marys and the disciples did, do not be afraid, and peace be with you. But sometimes it's not enough to hear. Okay, Pastor Beek, sounds great. Second Sunday of Easter, yeah, let's go home. Sometimes it's not enough to hear. Sometimes you need to see to believe, right? O ye man of little faith. We are all Thomases. That should be your middle name. You know that my grandmother's name was Olga Frieda Ida Melinda Peters Beek. We came home in 1964 from seeing Mary Poppins back in Youngstown, Ohio on vacation, and we said, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. She said, what does that mean? We said, it doesn't mean anything. She goes, well, that's stupid. She goes, Olga Frieda Ida Melinda Peters Beek. She went by Melinda, by the way. Olga Frieda Ida Melinda Peters Beek. She taught that to us that day. She said, that's my name. And we never forgot it, my sister and I. Your name should have Thomas somewhere in the middle of it all. Melinda Thomas Beek. Add that this week on your driver's license and your birth certificate and that. You're all Thomases. Because seeing is believing. It's not enough to hear. You hear it every Sunday from me in this pulpit. God loves you. I don't think so. But seeing is believing. Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of it in his side, I will not believe. Dig out your worship bulletin cover. One of my favorite paintings in the whole world is by Michelangelo Merisi da Caravaggio. He goes by Caravaggio because there's too many Michelangelos in the world. Caravaggio, I've got it framed in my office. From that picture framed in the office, I made the bulletin cover. It's a wonderful painting. I love that painting because Caravaggio is a lot like my very favorite artist of all time, Rembrandt, whom I have three of his etchings in my office. You're invited in it during coffee hour. But Caravaggio got the theology. What are the disciples looking at in that painting? They're not looking at his face. In fact, Jesus' face is obscured. It's darkened in the shadow. That's not what's important. In fact, he wasn't recognized by the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He wasn't recognized by Mary Magdalene at the tomb in John's gospel. What they are looking for are his hands and his side. I love that. It's not the face of Jesus, but it's his hands and his side that all the disciples are focused on. And the thing, this is a copy of a copy of a copy, you know? And no matter how good our color copier is, it's never good enough. The original painting, the thing that's most striking and most visible are the two nail holes in his hands and his side, obviously. His face is in the shadows, but the nail holes and the wound on his side are very, very visible. Jesus is known by his wounds. We know Jesus by his sacrifice for us. And so it's been said by theologians that when we die and go to heaven, we meet Jesus and shake his hands, he will still have the nail hole in his hand, even as a resurrected new life creature of God. I firmly believe that when I die and go to heaven, I will see the nail holes in his feet, his hands, and see his side. It may be scarred over by now, 2,000 years later, but there'll still be a scar there. Because we know Jesus by his wounds, not by his facial features.
And Caravaggio, the artist, got it right. I can just hear Jesus saying, "Okay, Thomas, you don't believe? I'll show you by thrusting your finger into my side." Pretty gruesome, that bulletin cover. Because we don't have anything in the gospel saying that he thrusted his finger into his side. But Caravaggio took that artistic liberty, and he has that moment where he puts his finger into the wound of Jesus' side. Ouch. I love the brazenness of the artist, Jesus, in this way. Okay, Thomas, you don't trust, you don't believe in what is told to you by the other 10? Here, stick your finger in here. But then Thomas, like Martha at Lazarus' death, says the great confession, "My Lord and my God." The other disciples a week earlier rejoiced when they had Christ in their midst. They were joyful, okay? That's the hymn of the day today that we'll be getting to. They were joyful. Here, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." You too, like Thomas, your new middle name, driver's license, know Jesus by his wounds. The wounds from the cross where he sacrificed himself for you. You know Jesus by his wounds because he says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." And unlike Thomas and the other 10, we do not get to just see Jesus' wounds, but we get to hold Jesus' wounds in our hands. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, was scared to death of being the priest behind the altar and consecrating the elements, because when he lifted up the host, he was lifting up the body of Christ. And when he lifted up the chalice of wine, he knew that the blood of Christ was present in, with, and under the sacrament. Instead of having your finger thrusted into the side of Jesus, you get to hold Jesus' wounds in the palm of your hand. Think about that a minute. And not only hold them, but then make them a part of you. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body and blood, given and shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You Thomases get to experience Christ in your midst weekly, if not daily. You Thomases get to hold Jesus in your hand and make Jesus your own. Do not be afraid, and peace be with you, are the Easter gifts given to you by Christ. Said twice, in Matthew said twice, actually three times in John. And if seeing is believing, then the Easter verbs, come and see, come to the table and see the gifts given to you from us, from the empty tomb. The gift of life and love and joy. And then go and tell. One of our members did that last week. She listened to the sermon really well. I won't call her out by name and embarrass her. But she gave me a call. She said, "Pastor," I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, she said, "I did what you said. I took the Easter bulletin and I gave it to a friend of mine because she needed God in her life. She needs God's love and peace and joy and fearlessness in her life." And I was humbled. It was as if I could have been given. I mean, eggs across my lawn, little treats in my mailbox, those are great, yeah, I'd love to eat. But the fact that somebody listened to the Easter verbs, come and see, and then go and tell a friend, a family member, a loved one, a neighbor. That's what the bulletins are for. You can take the bulletin home and explain to the family members who are not here, look what Pastor said today. It's not Jesus' face that they were looking at. They were looking at his wounds because Jesus is identified by his wounds and his sacrifice for you and me. Yes, the miracles are great. Yes, his preaching was wonderful. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, prayer, all those things Jesus taught us
are wonderful. And so we still have them in our canon in the Bible, and we still teach them to our children and our adults. That the Easter gifts given to you last Sunday and today, do not be afraid and peace be with you. If seeing is believing, come and see, and then go and tell. Amen. I was looking for you, Anne, to get up. I'm on my choir members, you can stay right where you are, but sing loud, okay? You weren't singing the tenor, the bass line at all. Our hymn of the day, because it has to do with the first and second reading, I underlined it. Psalm 16. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And then in 1 Peter, I can't find it fast enough. 1 Peter is right there in front of me. Rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. Turn to the other insert. Okay, I'm gonna leave this one. Maybe a train wreck.
Do you wanna start here?
No, I don't. I'm gonna say my. Thank you for asking that. Okay, some of you know this though. I've got the joy down in my heart. I need for the women's choir to say, be the where people. Where? Every time there's an asterisk, you have to shout where. You weren't doing Be a Rose for me. You were singing the soprano and the alto. You were singing four-part harmony of yours. It sounded really good. But stay in your seats and do the where for me. I know Savannah and Kelly will be able to do that really well, because they're the only ones out of the 10 women up here that listen to me. Thank you. You don't know me well enough. All the rest of the women know me well, so they don't listen to me at all. But then on the back of that page, we're going to sing it the way I sang it in Bible camp, okay? So I've got the joy down in my heart. Down where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. To stay. Then comes the other part to the door. Yes, I am happy. So very happy. I have the joy of Jesus in my heart. Yes, I'm happy. So very happy. I have the joy of Jesus in my heart. Cha cha cha. Now, see, women, that is going to be you. You're going to be the where and the cha cha cha. So I won't embarrass you. I could have Debbie Erickson come up, because she gets it better than anybody. Yeah, she could be my cha-cha girl, but I won't embarrass her. She was doing, remember when she sang the up and down thing? Yeah. Okay, so that's how we're going to sing. We're going to sing all three verses on my key, my tempo. So keep up, especially the piece of passage. Okay, that was always a fun part. So we'll sing it in unison. I have the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. To say, yes, I am happy, so very happy. I have the joy of Jesus in my heart. And yes, I'm happy, so very happy. I have the joy of Jesus in my heart. Cha-cha-cha. Don't forget the cha-cha-cha part. You're going to be home doing laundry and ironing tomorrow, and you're going to be cha-cha-ing all over the house. I just know, okay? Second verse. This is the, I have the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. To say, yes, I am happy, so very happy. I have the joy of peace and peace in my heart. Yes, I am happy, so very happy. I have the peace of Jesus in my heart. Cha cha cha. Oh, some of you are getting it. One third of you are cha cha, and the rest of you are like, I'm not saying that. Okay, one more verse. You did it right. I have the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down. I have the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. To say, yes, I am happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Yes, I am happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Cha cha cha. Oh, Lord, you did it. And some of you don't know that foreign language, cha-cha-cha. Carmen Miranda, it's Spanish, it's Mexican, cha-cha-cha. Thank you, you sound wonderful. I'm glad that you did come up for it. I really agree. Okay. I invite you to rise for the Apostles' Creed, the Confession of Faith, and the Prayers of the Church. The Apostles' Creed is found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remembering our prayers in the church, Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kemple, our bishops. We also have been praying this whole month of April, and we will continue to, for our mission partner ministry of Luther Heights Bible Camp. It's not just because Kelly's here and the presentation and all that. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, Russia, and the surrounding nations involved with it, including. We pray for the people in California, the Pacific Northwest, and the Northeast, suffering loss of property and life due to snow, flooding, and mudslides now. And the people in Mississippi, Indiana, Illinois, Tennessee, Arkansas, we left out last week, and Alabama, suffering from loss of property and life due to the tornadoes. We pray for all firefighters and law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to all of these crises. And then we've been praying for the past few weeks, and we will continue to pray for Father Gabriel Morales Garcia of Aberdeen and American Falls due to his severe auto accident. He's still in ICU and still in stable but serious condition. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God of rebirth, the good news of Jesus' resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. Following the women at the tomb, give us courage to boldly share your radical love through our words and our actions. Lord, your mercy is great.
Hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. As you breathed your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rain. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution, destruction, and misuse of the gifts you give us. Lord, your mercy is great.
Hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You prepare the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and giving them your peace. So bless all world leaders with the gifts of integrity, mercy, and compassion for every human life and hearts that burn for justice and peace. Hatred and fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those whom we lift before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, your mercy is great. Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Build up and strengthen the ministries and the mission of this congregation. Especially we lift up the ministries, staff, campers, families of Luther Heights Bible Camp. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. Resurrecting God, you bring us to new life every day. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those whom we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and the new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church this morning, American Falls, Idaho. Today in the church year is the second Sunday of Easter. Especially welcome to all who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Marilyn and Sean Allen. Happy birthday this week to Braden Chips, Vivian Charles, Susanna Edwards. Happy anniversary this week to Todd and Terry Kendall. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page and the week's events listed on the schedule there. There are many events coming up in the days ahead. Red Cross Blood Drive Tuesday from 12 to 6 p.m. Council meeting Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Other announcements. Go ahead.
Good morning. The ladies will be quilting one more time on Tuesday. We've always quilted on Monday, but this will be on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. This year by Hope House to make a couple of king-size quilts for their staff bedrooms. And we have one done, and we have one more we need to get tied. So that we will do on Tuesday morning, and this will be our... This really will be our last quilting day of the year. So if you want to come and help, please do.
Quilting's never over. It's a lifelong, year-long thing. Yeah. Today we welcome this morning Kelly Proboski, the Executive Director of Luther Heights Bible Camp. And we also invite her to come forward at this time to greet us. And we invite Brenda Knudsen to come forward too, just so that you're time.
Well, it's good to be with you and worship with you. I want to thank you for being one of our owner congregation. It means a lot that you partner with us financially, hold us in prayer, send us campers and volunteers and board members and all of that. I'm going to start with Brenda. Don't get to sit down. Come on over here. So every year, Luther Heights does our John Yates Award, and this honors people in a given year who have given a lot to Luther Heights. And Brenda has been serving on our board. She currently serves as the secretary in our executive committee. She's also beginning to serve on our Capital Campaign Committee, comes to volunteer for work weekends. She helps cook in our kitchen for Hodiah, which is a partnership we have with youth with diabetes. And we thank her for her light and her joy and her love. And we like to honor people in their home congregation. So we have a little award for you, Brenda, a little mountain picture. And thank you so much for all that you do. All right. So it wouldn't be camp if I don't do a little more, and Pastor John said I could, so here I am. So we are part of LOM, which stands for Lutheran Outdoor Ministry. We're there's about 114 camps around the country. And each year, there's a team of people that write a curriculum together. And for us at Luther Heights, we adopt that curriculum. So our theme this year is based on the Trinity. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? How does that help our relationships with God, ourselves, and each other? And the verse is going to be based off of Revelations 22:13. So I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. And how do we become attuned to God in our natural rhythms of life? And when we come to church, and when we interact with our neighbor, and things like that. So naturally, we like to have props and things that connect people, right? So I have a graham cracker. That's one thing, right? And I have a marshmallow. So two things, right? You know, a lot of you know what I'm doing, where I'm going. All right, and then a piece of chocolate. So I have three different things, right? But can they be combined? Whoops, almost dropped the chocolate. To become one, so I have my s'more. So we'll use this. Get the crumbs off. Yeah, get the crumbs away. We will use this summer, and I've been using it as I've gone to our owner congregations to preach and talk about God our Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our triune God, what that means, how that helps us live as people of faith, and how that helps the importance of relationship. So in a minute when I go, Savannah's going to help me. I have some more kits for anyone who would like a s'more today. You can make them in your microwave, or you can just eat them. We invite you to come to camp this summer if that is a good thing for you or if you're able. Yes, we do youth camp. So we begin going into first grade all the way through high school. We have several different leadership programs for those who are in high school, including we hire 14 to 16-year-olds, depending on their maturity level and what they want to do, to work on staff with us. We also have a very popular women's retreat in July. It's the third weekend of July. This year, our speaker is Jerry Wallace. She's a retired executive director of Cathedral of the Rockies, which is the largest church west of the Mississippi, and it happens to be in Boise. And she will be talking to us about God in our natural world and creation and sort of the labyrinth of life, which a labyrinth is a very spiritual practice, and how can we journey inward with God. We have our fly fishing retreat, which is popular in August. We have a grief and reflection retreat. Some of you may know Pastor Barb Condon, who did a lot of work over here on the east side. She's going to lead that retreat. That's the second weekend of August. So grief is a journey, and there's no right path, and there's no direct path necessarily, and everyone has their own experience. And so she's going to, based on her pastoral experience and as a bereavement counselor, and walk with you individually and collectively for grief. We also have people coming in to do a mindfulness in the mountains retreat. So what does mindfulness mean? What are some mental wellness tips that you can use in your life or share with others, and how can that connect us to God? So if you have questions, I'll be over in the coffee area. We would love to have you at camp. Thank you so much for your partnership and your support. It does mean a great deal for us, and it continues to help us live out our mission, and you are a piece of that, so thank you. And we'll be coming around with some more kits for anyone who wants a little snack. So thank you. Right now! I know! Way outside the box.
You may want to wait till after communion.
Oh, should I do it? I'll do it, or I could do it on the way out.
Maybe on the way out. That may be
good.
You
like that better?
On the way out.
It's
okay, Kelly. No women ever listen to me. That's why I'm an old bachelor. But on the way out would be a really good thing.
There you go.
For all of you theologians in the midst, s'mores, graham cracker, marshmallow, chocolate. It's kind of like God is like an egg, the Trinity, or God is like an orange, or you know, any of those things. I want you to ask yourself, what part of the s'more is God? What part of the s'more is the Holy Spirit? What part of the s'more is Jesus? My answer, I'll drop my shoe right here, is the crusty one. He's the graham cracker. The Holy Spirit is the white fluff that sometimes just blows away. You know, especially in the campfire, it just goes away with the wind. And then Jesus, the sweetness of Jesus, of course he's dark chocolate. He was Middle Eastern, okay? And so dark chocolate, are they Hershey? You can say the word Hershey here. Yeah, Hershey. Oh, there you go, Hershey. So yes, after church, as people leave, anyone that would like a s'more that's not made yet. I asked Marita Polson, I know, I'm getting long here. Where's Arnie? I asked Marita Polson, she called me, she said, it's camp Sunday, what should we have for treats at coffee hour? I said, knock yourself out, anything you want. You know, she goes, well, I was thinking s'mores. Then she comes with a basket of s'more stuff this morning. Great minds think alike. I asked Marita Polson, I said, do you know what a poor man's s'more is? She goes, no, I've never heard of that. College. We couldn't afford graham crackers, the crustiness of God, or marshmallows, well, or dark chocolate especially. Poor man s'more. Some of you may know that. Saltine crackers with half a marshmallow on it and a knob of butter. It's better than graham crackers, chocolate, and marshmallows. Saltine crackers, half a marshmallow, and a knob of butter under the broiler till everything's melted. Oh, my word. It's amazing I'm not 400 pounds. College. We used to do poor man's s'mores in college. Okay. I invite the communion sisters and acolyte to come forward at this time in preparation for Holy Communion. I invite you to turn to the hymn 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, and we sing it as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion. Hymn 182.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving. Once again, this week we will speak, but we will sing the Holy, 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 and the Lamb of God. But we speak the great thanksgiving found on page 144. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, Almighty and Merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup of the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. In your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing when we sing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn. Thank you. Please rise with the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Hymn 208.
Thank you.